So I don't usually swear, and I certainly wouldn't swear in a podcast episode. So I'm not going to directly swear in this episode, but we are going to talk about the lie that I think pretty much all women believe and what you actually need to know about this concept. If you're someone who needs shortcuts, fast passes, and easier ways of doing things, make sure that you listen to this episode of the Intense Mom Podcast. Let's dive in.
Well, hey there. I am Jennifer Roskamp, a certified life coach and homeschool mom of nine who is passionate about helping women just like you embrace the here and now while also being focused on creating the life you actually want. In reality, it's not about thinking life will get so much better or so much easier when you fill in the blank. Let's work on creating a life you love now. So let's dive in and get started on redefining supermom to be someone who is present, intentional, and content rather than perfect in our homes, in our lives, and in our own skin. Let's get started. This is the Intentional Mom Podcast.
Well, hey there. I am excited to talk to you about this today because there is a lie that is out there that I think women are conditioned into believing, and we don't even really even realize it. It's almost like we just accept it. And I think it's something that there is some truth to the concept. However, again, the current conversation with it, I think the widely upheld conversation about this is something that is not true, and it is something that is definitely not serving me. It's not serving you. It's not serving women anywhere. So, are you ready to hear what this lie is? All right, here comes the little bit that I could insert a little bit of a swear word, but I'm not gonna. All right, so here's the lie. Doing things halfway makes you lazy. So, doing things half, you could insert a three-letter word that starts with A, right? Add an ED onto it, and you could rephrase the lie that way. But the lie is that doing things halfway makes you lazy. I hear this all the time. Have you heard this? If you have, here we go. Here's why this is a lie. This is a lie because done is better than perfect. I did not invent that cliche, by the way. Sheryl Sandberg actually said it in her book, Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead. But I love this concept and how it leads into something I always teach. The concept of working with the time you actually have rather than waiting for the time you think you need. Here's three things to know about getting things done, right? Number one, the things you need to do need to fit into the time you have. As a mom of nine, I will say I would get next to nothing done if I waited until I had all the time I needed to get a particular task done. I typically will get 10 or so minutes before to work on something, before I get interrupted, before there's some sort of disruption, or even before I lose focus, before I lose momentum, before I get bored and just find myself wandering, find my mind wandering, find that I'm not being efficient in what I'm doing anymore. 10 minutes is about all I get. But there are a lot of tasks that do not get completed within 10 minutes. There are a lot of tasks that are going to take 20 minutes, 30 minutes, a few hours, maybe longer. And so if I waited until I had that amount of time, if as I looked at a particular task and I said, this is going to take me 30 minutes because I estimated, super smart thing to do, by the way, if you're not looking at tasks that you have to do and estimating how much time you need to do them, how do you ever know what you're going to get done in a day? How do you know what's going to fit and what's not? That's a little side note. Because here's how that might help you right now. Like there might be a back up the bus sort of moment when I tell you that if you are not estimating the amount of time you need for tasks, you're likely struggling to get anything done because you don't know how anything is going to fit into your day. You just assign yourself things, hoping that they will fit, hoping that they will fit together, and hoping that they fit, again, within the context of all of the other things you have going on that day. And you really have no idea whether they will actually fit. You're essentially scheduling yourself and planning for yourself to do things in as though you're blindfolded. But back to the original number one thing that I was pointing out, the first thing you need to know about getting stuff done, it's that you have to take the time that you have and use that, even if it's only in 10-minute increments, use the time that you have to actually work on the things that you have to get done rather than waiting until you have the right amount of time. And that can be a real light bulb moment. Maybe you never really looked at, you know, how long is it that I get before I'm interrupted, disrupted, or my mind wanders, or I get bored and I move on to the next thing, or I just stop staying focused. Maybe you've never asked yourself that. That might be a really cool thing to just kind of observe in yourself the next day or two. How long do you actually get? Like I said, for me, it's 10 minutes. It might be different for you. But what is that? That would be something super useful to know. I could see that being an added benefit here. Do you take the extra step and do that? But know that when it comes to getting things done, you're going to have to use the little pockets of time. That's what I call them, pockets. You're going to have to use all of the little bits of time that you need to get the stuff done, and know that there's going to be, rare is going to be the time that it's a one and done. I schedule this once and wow, it's done. Because many of the things are not going to fit into, for me, into that 10-minute little time block that I have there. So that's thing number one that you need to know, is that they need to fit into the time that you have. And it's not going to be a perfectly aligned thing. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you also need to note this when it comes to getting things done. No one is coming to judge your work. You do what works for you. And again, I think this is one of those things where, because we all grow up in school and we're used to report cards and we're used to kind of somebody looking over our shoulder, and then a lot of times you go into the workforce and you're not the one in charge, at least not right away in most cases. So you have some sort of boss or some sort of supervisor. Actually, before you even have that, you're usually in some sort of training period. So you've got this trainer who's teaching you how to do things, and they are constantly looking over your shoulder, observing how you're doing. They are constantly judging you. How are you doing? What do you need to do better? What do you need to change? And then you move out of that training period, and you're more independent in your work, but you've still got that supervisor, you've still got that manager, you've still got that boss who is constantly looking over at what you're doing and evaluating. How are you doing? They are judging your work. Well, in your home, no one is judging your work. It might affect other people, but nobody is going to come knocking on your door with a clipboard and give you some sort of evaluation in how you're doing in your home and with these projects and tasks that you need to get done. Therefore, you do what works for you. And that is a huge open-ended call to action right there. It is relevant when we talk about time. You get it done in the time that you have to do it. It is relevant in terms of level of completion. Maybe in a perfect world, this would be what complete would look like. But you know what? Maybe in that halfway sort of way, this is what complete looks like. This is what it has to look like for right now anyway. Maybe down the road, you'll be able to complete it more fully. But for right now, this task needs to be done in a just good enough to get by sort of way. And there's not going to be anyone who knocks on your door and marks you down for that. No one is coming to judge your work. So you do the work in a way that works for you, even if that means halfway at best. The third thing you need to know is that lazy is a label that will only slow you down. And a lot of times when we think about doing things halfway, we say, that's lazy. You're lazy if you're doing something halfway. But that is not true. Lazy is a label. If you're labeling that self, yourself that way, or allowing others to attach that label to you, it's only going to slow you down. Doing things in the way and to the extent that I'm able to do them right now, within the realm of the season that I'm in and the set of circumstances I have and the energy I have, and the amount of sleep I might have gotten the night before, and the different health limitations or physical limitations I have, or the time constraints that I have. Those things all play a role in what my level of completion is and how completely I'm able to complete a task. And if that means that because of all of those things, because of the different variables and ingredients that make up the reality of my life right now, if that means that I'm only doing something a quarter of the way at best, you know what? Done is better than perfect. And if that's what done means right now, that doesn't mean I'm lazy. And that doesn't mean that you're lazy either. We saddle ourselves with these labels. We believe this lie that doing things halfway makes you lazy, means you're lazy, and it does not. These are three really important things that you need to know about being lazy. You need to get stuff done by fitting it into the time that you have, not into the ideal times that you wish you had. You're going to make it work with the time you have because that's the only choice that you have. And that oftentimes means that your level of completion or what the job looks like or all the different steps and pieces and parts that a different task or project entails, that's going to look a little bit different. That might even look a little subpar from what you would like it to look, but you know what? Done is better than perfect. Number two, no one is coming to judge your work. You do what works for you. You do what works for you right now because done is better than perfect. Third thing, lazy is a label that doesn't fit and it only wears you down. When you're doing things partway, it's because that's the way it needs to be for right now. There are a lot of cases in which that will be 100% true. Almost all cases, that will be 100% true. Do we wish that we could change certain circumstances that might allow us to do things differently? Yes. Do we wish that we didn't have certain limitations that required that doing this job this way right now, that's what it looks like? Do we wish we didn't have those limitations? Of course. Do we wish that we had more time? Of course. We can wish all of those things. But those wishes are not allowing the things to get done. Living in reality means I've got to make it work with what I have. And that doesn't mean that I'm lazy. That's what you need to know. That's what you need to do about it. That's how you need to change that conversation that is happening so prevalently out in the world today. Because when you believe that lie, it is not helping you. It is holding you back. And it is time to be able to get in the driver's seat of your life. You decide and you say, you know what? This doesn't make me lazy. This makes me living in reality. This makes me having this current set of circumstances. This means I have these limitations. This means that I have these variables that I'm dealing with. All of these things are true. Lazy doesn't have to be part of the vocabulary. Well, there you have it. Now you know the lie that we as women commonly believe. You know why it's not true, and you know how to take back that conversation and have one that actually is true and have a conversation that empowers you rather than one that holds you back. Lazy is not a label that you have to wear. Now you know it's there. Now you can identify the conversation and you can go ahead and turn that conversation right around. In the next episode, we're going to have a guest speaker. We're going to be talking with Heidi Villegas, and we're going to be talking about homeopathic methods. We're going to be talking about herbs. We're going to be talking about essential oils. We're going to be talking about natural alternatives to the lifestyle that we feel sometimes is our only option. So we're going to dive in. She's going to take the fear. She's going to take the overwhelm out of that. We're going to have an amazing conversation in the next episode of the Intentional Mom Podcast. I will see you then.